next case is 95-1197, State of Ohio versus Georgia Pegler. Ms. Coombs.
Good morning, Your Honors. Catherine Coombs, representing the State of Ohio, the appellant in the present case. I would like to reserve three minutes of my time for rebuttal. The Second District Court of Appeals erred in deciding an issue that was not presented to the trial court. The defense counsel, in his motion to suppress, alleged only general Fourth Amendment violations. At the motion to suppress hearing, no witnesses were called. The state and defense counsel stipulated to the following facts. At 3 a.m., the defendant's vehicle was stopped for a traffic violation. While verifying the defendant's identification, an outstanding warrant was discovered for his arrest. The defendant was arrested, his car was impounded, and the officers, before the car was towed, conducted an inventory search.
Does the fact that the policy of the police department, the written policy, is entered into evidence make the whole policy fair game?
Yes. Well, in this instance, Your Honor, the inventory search was challenged on two grounds. So it was somewhat limited in that he was only challenging two grounds. And as far as the policy goes, defense counsel was just challenging the opening of the pill bottle and whether that was within the Dayton Police Department's written policy.
Yeah, I understand the two grounds and understand your argument that the Court of Appeals went off on a tangent and discussed something that was not in the original argument.
But
I want to know, is that fair if they've got it before them?
I believe that it is fair if it's raised by the defense counsel.
Well, so you don't think it was fair?
No, that's correct.
Unless it was raised.
That's correct.
Because you were not given an opportunity to respond to that argument, were you?
That's correct, Your Honor. We were not. And that's the basis, that's why we're here today. We were not given the opportunity to respond. At the hearing, the defense counsel explicitly narrowed his grounds of the challenge. And there are two grounds, the location of the inventory search, and that was the on-scene versus towing to the tow yard at the police station, and two, against the opening of the pill bottle itself.
Let's get to the Court of Appeals position where they state that the state provided no testimony that the defendant's vehicle was vulnerable to theft. That they believe that a police officer can only tow an arrestee's car if they establish that it's vulnerable to theft. What do you say to that?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the Court of Appeals got that from the written policy itself, because the policy said the officers are towed the vehicle when the vehicle is subject to theft vulnerable to theft. But in this case, the challenge was not raised.
How could that ever be established? How would the police determine that something is vulnerable to theft?
Well, again, Your Honor, that would be hard, and the only way would be through possibly the police officer's testimony that the car was on a dark street or something to that effect. But again, that would be hard, if not possible, for the state to establish. And here again, in this case, it wasn't asked to establish that. There was no challenge raised in the inventory to the right of the officers to inventory the car itself. Pursuant to defense request, the state agreed to provide the court with copies of the Dayton Police Department's written policy. In addition, the state, based on defense counsel's oral representations and his narrowing of the issues, released its witness, a police officer who the state had present at the hearing and was prepared to testify. After the motion to suppress, defense counsel submitted a memo in support of his motion to suppress, relying on State v. Smith, arguing that the inventory search was pretextual because the defense vehicle was not towed to the police station prior to the search. The trial court agreed with defense counsel and concluded that the search was pretextual because defendant's vehicle was not towed to the police station prior to the search. The court could not distinguish the case from State v. Smith.
What law will we clarify by this case? It seems like it's procedurally, it's a procedural challenge to something that's sort of nebulous, whether the court had this before or not, what's Well, what's important about this case to be heard about?
Your Honor, the thing that's important is here the Court of Appeals decided an issue that was not before the trial court, and the state did not have an opportunity to respond to this. And we're asking that the Court of Appeals needs to be restricted in that and limited to what's raised at the trial level or what's raised below. Here they went outside of what was raised in the lower courts.
So the overriding proposition of the Court of Appeals should be limited to what was raised.
That's correct. And
yes,
the challenge is below.
All right. But the court's the other side makes the argument that indeed in this case they had sufficiently raised it.
That's correct, Your Honor.
That would be those facts. Does it amount to error correction?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it does, because here, I mean, it is so clear that it was not raised. The facts were stipulated to. There was never a challenge to the inventory search itself. The grounds are limited.
Does the record put the challenge, I believe the defense counsel said, the situs of the search?
That's correct.
Very broad. But nevertheless, I guess the defense here said that requires then the prosecutor to come forward and support the entire search.
Right. Well, Your Honor, and again, you did say the situs, but quoting to you part of the stipulations, and I would refer or ask this court to look at the trial transcript and to read the stipulations, because in defense counsel's own words, he said, Judge, my objection would be to the on-scene inventory of the vehicle. I don't believe that's the proper procedure. I believe it's got to go to the tow yard, and the opening of any containers that are not weapons, I believe, is contrary to established law. He goes on to say, I just believe that the opening of the vial is improper, Your Honor.
Well, I guess saying that it's got to go to the tow yard would be a bit inapposite to it shouldn't have gone to the tow yard, which is what the Court of Appeals says. There is no show it.
So, yes, well, that's correct, Your Honor. That's what the trial court stated, that it has to go to the tow yard before it's a proper inventory search. And to which the Court of Appeals responded, no, that a car does not need to be towed to the station house for it to be a lawful inventory search. Nevertheless, the Court of Appeals affirmed the trial court's decision suppressing the evidence, concluding that the state had failed to prove that it was necessary to tow a defendant's vehicle. Again, Pegula never raised this issue, and this is why the prosecutor's office did not address it. It is grossly unfair for the Court of Appeals to decide that the state had failed to prove an issue when defense counsel never raised nor argued that issue. Pegula never contested the right of the officers to tow the vehicle. In fact, he conceded the right of the officers to tow the car and to conduct the inventory search. When defense counsel files a motion to suppress, it is his or her responsibility to articulate why the evidence should be suppressed. This court has indicated that a court of appeals does not possess the unfettered authority to determine appeals on new and unargued issues, and if the court contemplates doing so out of fairness to the parties, it should give them notice of its intent to do so and an opportunity to brief the issues. If the Court of Appeals found that the issue had been incorrectly framed at trial, it should have remanded the case back for further proceedings.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, this isn't that difficult, is it? I mean, it's a stop and a search, and the officer goes into a vial. Why can't the Court of Appeals look at the record and determine that there is error or not error here, even if counsel missed it? I mean, the Court of Appeals is allowed to do that, aren't they? Isn't it?
Yes, Ron. Well, I guess the problem is the error actually at the trial level. There were the trial court relied on the two grounds raised by defense counsel. So and the trial court determined that the station house setting was required. And the trial court did not address the issue of whether the opening of the pill bottle was pursuant to policy. When it went to the Court of Appeals, the Court of Appeals rejected the station house setting argument.
Right.
However, then went on to hold, well, we don't even believe that the officers had the right to tow the vehicle because it was not vulnerable to theft. So taking it back to the place where the error was committed, we'll go back to the trial court for determination of whether the opening of the pill bottle was pursuant to policy.
So, go ahead.
What facts did the trial court say were present that showed it to be just a pretext to search the vehicle and not an inventory search?
The trial court actually just cited State v. Smith and cited two excerpts from State v. Smith that holds that a lawfully impounded vehicle is a vehicle that has been towed to the station house. And then went on to conclude, it was a very short opinion, and then went on to conclude that it could not distinguish this case from the facts of State v. Smith.
I still don't get what the pretext was by the police. Well, pretext means you did something pretending to be for another reason. You didn't really want to inventory the car. You wanted to get into someplace and find something incriminating. What led the trial court to believe that that's what the police intended and not the inventory search?
From the opinion, Your Honor, from my reading of the opinion, I believe it was just the fact that it was not towed back to the station house.
So the fact that it was searched, it was inventory
at the
scene.
That's correct.
Rather than inventory at the police station, it was pretextual, then it was done at the scene for some other reason other than inventory.
That's correct.
Now, the vulnerable theft theory was first raised in the Court of Appeals. The trial court didn't comment on that.
No, Your Honor, it did not. And again, I would respectfully request that this court affirm that part of the Court of Appeals decision, finding that the property inventory need not take place at the station house as a condition of establishing a valid inventory search, and reverse that part of the Court of Appeals decision, which extends beyond that which before the trial court, and remand the case back to the trial court for a determination of whether the opening of the pill bottles was within the scope of the police department's written policy.
Counsel, you don't dispute that you have the burden of proof for this, order?
No, Your Honor, I do not. We do not. The state does not dispute that we have the burden of proof. That's correct, Your Honor. This court has no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Coots. Mr. Brill.
Thank you. Associate Justices, good morning. My name is Charles Grove, and I'm representing Mr. Pegler at the Lee hearing. I would ask the court to affirm the opinion of the Court of Appeals in this particular case in that, number one, the Court of Appeals did not decide this case on other grounds. Number two, this issue concerning the inventory itself and the nature of the seizing of the car or the towing was specifically addressed by the prosecution in their appellate brief to the court at Court of Appeals, and that while we were in error in the trial court with respect to the situs of the inventory, that the remainder of Smith, in effect, still does exist as good law. I would initially point the court to the state's appellate brief to the Court of Appeals at page 5, where the state specifically acknowledged that in order to even get to whether or not it is a valid inventory search, one must first analyze whether or not the car was actually subject to being towed. And in their particular brief to the Court of Appeals, the state acknowledged that the record was devoid of any evidence indicating that the car was vulnerable to theft, was illegally parked, or was obstructing any traffic. I submit to this court that the Court of Appeals simply picked out one of the three, the subject to theft, the one ordinarily used as the reason for inventorying itself, as the reason to hang their hat on, so to speak, in writing their opinion.
Where was the car located when they stopped?
I believe it was on 3rd Street, Your Honor. I don't believe that specifically was in the record, but it was on the city street in Dayton, I know that much.
Wasn't that in the parking lot?
I don't believe so, no, Your Honor.
Was that on the city street?
Yes, Your Honor.
The defendant was going to be taken to jail
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there anyone else in the car who removed the car from the scene?
I don't know that, to be honest with you, Your Honor. There's nothing in the record that would indicate that there was another occupant of the automobile.
Isn't the theory behind inventory searches is to protect that which may be found in the vehicle once the driver has been arrested and will be coming to jail?
Not exactly, Your Honor. There are three reasons for an inventory search. Number one is to preserve what the owner or driver has within the car. Number two, it is to prevent the police from being accused of stealing or misappropriating. And number three, it's to protect the police in case there is something within the automobile that might be injurious to themselves or others.
Is it your contention that that inventory search must be made at the police station?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Absolutely not. Interestingly enough, and I realize this is somewhat of an aside, but if one shepherdizes State versus Smith, and you shepherdize it either, I believe if I've got this correct, if you shepherdize it under the Ohio State citation, you don't come across State versus Gordon, which says that State versus Smith is effectively overruled by Happ. If you shepherdize it under the Northeast cite, I believe I've got this correct, then you will come across this State versus Gordon that says that Happ effectively overrules it.
It only overruled it in part anyway.
In part anyway, I understand that, but I mean, you don't even get to that if you do it, if you shepherdize it one way versus another. Now, obviously, if you're familiar with Lexis and so forth, you can find it an easier way, but in this particular case, there's a little bit of a glitch here. I'm not blaming that, you understand, please, on this, but just Mr. Monroe's idea that State versus Smith applied in all aspects, and he was quite frankly wrong.
Why do you still cite Smith for the proposition we know about the station house as opposed to location? Why do you cite it on the basis that the inventory search did not follow a reasonable or set a reasonable standard for search?
Well,
because does Smith talk about closed containers?
Smith, I believe, still stands with the proposition that it has to be done in good faith, and there's a recognition that obviously that inventories cannot be used simply as a ruse for general rummaging of evidence of other crimes.
So to cite Smith takes us back to the pretextual question.
Pretextual, yes, Your Honor, does.
And if you find, and that's of course subjective rather than objective, if you find that it was not pretextual, then Smith doesn't apply and it's over.
Well, but there are other aspects of this case that are other aspects that do. For instance, the car has to lawfully be impounded first, or lawfully seized. There's got to be a reason to tow it. And that was also spelled out by this court in Hathaway, that when you start your analysis, the car has to first, and there should be no, I might add, there should be no presumption in favor of towing a vehicle. You're taking away someone's property, at least temporarily, and you're subjecting them to tow fees and impoundment fees when people park their cars on city streets every day. Unless the state can show a reason for towing that particular car, they ought to leave it where it is. And
would that be true with the DUI stop, too? Because I remember every one of our cases, we always towed the car.
Well, then that ought to be re-examined. I realize we're not here to gripe about DUI tows, but normally, when in my experience, DUI tows are along a very busy street where there is no parking. We don't know that to be the case in this particular case.
But it's part of the reason for the police conducting an inventory is to protect themselves against accusations of theft, and also to make sure that there's anything dangerous being left in the car. Isn't necessary in all of these instances to do an inventory, and doesn't impoundment take place right at the point of the arrest?
No, the impoundment of the car is a separate issue. The taking of a defendant is a seizure of an individual.
No, I'm talking about what is contained in the car. You mentioned the reasons that police do inventories, and one of them is to protect the police from false accusations of theft of items left in the car.
That's true. That's true. But the overriding issue, though, here is obviously the Fourth Amendment. And I don't see defending oneself from a potential civil action sometime in the future is itself sufficient cause to abrogate what would otherwise require a warrant to search for contraband or whatever else they might find within the car. This is a recognized exception to the Fourth Amendment, and given that it is a recognized exception, it should be treated, and I submit
well,
to you
when,
very
when would you think it, give me some circumstances that you deem it appropriate for the police to impound the vehicle?
Well, I can't remember now which justice touched on it, but someone mentioned the idea of how would you ever prove that the car might be vulnerable to theft. We run into this on a daily occurrence when police officers, for instance, in a search and seizure case involving crack cocaine in a pocket, it's a high crime area, and we understand that police, at least in their own minds, understand that this particular area of town is more likely to have criminal activity than another area of town. And so if the police were to come forward with some evidence to the trial court that said we towed it because we have had many reports of breaking into cars in this particular area, then certainly that would be evidence that the trial court and the Court of Appeals, and of course you could analyze and decide whether or not you wish to rely upon it. And the same would go whether or not the car was illegally parked or whether it happened to be obstructing traffic. I mean, any one of these reasons would have been enough, and it's clearly recognized within the policy of the Dayton Police Department. I believe it's on the first page is when you should tow it, or when you actually can tow it, and that's a directive issued to the police itself. From the chief of police.
Isn't the crux of their argument just real simple that you didn't raise it, they didn't get a chance to prove it? That's
well,
what it would be.
Your Honor, it's not quite that simple. I believe on page 4 of the record, and I do admit this is an exceedingly sparse record, and it appears as if the prosecutor and the defense counsel were trying to shortcut in 10 minutes a suppression hearing.
Mr. Monroe says that appears to be the only issue in this case, the timing of the
on page 4, your Honor, it says, Mr. Monroe, bottom of the page, says, pursuant to that alleged inventory analysis of the car, there was a pill container. And then on page 5, Mr. Haynes joined in and says, one addition to that, everything you said was correct. However, the inventory, including the opening of the file in which the heroin was discovered, that took place pursuant to a written policy of the Dayton Police Department, required them to do this inventory and to open all containers, and the court jumped in and said, isn't that the crux of the case? And Mr. Monroe says, that's the crux of the case, and the only thing I would ask is the prosecution is ready to admit to evidence this policy. And so Mr. Monroe was at least, appears to be trying to raise the issue that there may be a problem with the entire inventory. If you read it more narrowly, then you could, of course, say no. But the bottom line in all of this, though, is that the basis for the objection was whether or not the tow policy was complied with. And that was finally submitted to the trial court, perhaps not in complete form, but the Court of Appeals then took a look at that very same policy and just read a different section of it, apparently, than did the trial court. But it's certainly not a different issue like we would have in the case of the Dodd-Lamb ban case, where a constitutional issue wasn't even raised until the appellate level. This case, this was specifically raised in a general way, of course, but it was raised nonetheless in the trial court. And the state apparently recognized it when they wrote their appellate brief in the Court of Appeals and mentioned it. I don't know how much more they could have said about that particular issue, given the fact that our record is some, 8 pages long. I don't know what else the Court of Appeals should have truly been required to do in that particular case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. Ms. Kuntz, you've saved 3 minutes of your time.
Your Honors, I would ask this court to look at the record, to look at the transcript, The defendant defined the issues at the motion to suppress. It's very clear he was only challenging two issues. The state relied on defense counsel's representations and released a police witness. Under these circumstances, it is very unfair to hold against the state for failing to prove that which they have been told they did not have to prove. Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.